now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Yay, nearly Christmas.
Are we allowed to mention the C word?
Well, I'm getting excited.
Not now, dear.
Okay, this week.
Possum Trot, no idea. Neve Francis chats to Steffi. Plus, we have Risto in the studio talking World AIDS Day.
Right here.
All that in the next 55 minutes to go. Sorry,
or longer.
You did say it was quick. Even lower then. Did you miss my bombs?
Lower than what?
Last week's bombs.
Last week's?
Bombs. Sorry, not last week's bombs. Last week's bombs.
Yeah. Hey, we had some great news out of the States today as we're covering World AIDS Day, which is on the 1st. The United States have decided not to celebrate.
Yeah.
Trump has warned anyone that gets funding or is part of a government department not to mention it, not to talk about it. And absolutely not to celebrate it.
That is absolutely the way to approach this, just to ignore it and pretend it didn't happen. Yeah. Where did we see this happen before?
Yeah.
Oh, hang
wonder
on.
Where.
And miseducation and scaremongering.
Yeah.
And burning the books.
Cool, well done.
Yeah. It's I'm not often shocked by him, but that was a hard one to process today. I mean, there's obviously a lot of things that he's banning being discussed, but
banning
it's the impact
trans
of
people.
The initial utter refusal to even deal with it when it first became a thing in the 80s was just so emblematic of the entire US administration back then, and now they're just deciding that we can do that all over again. Mm-hmm. It's pretty deaf of history, really, but
yes,
there we go.
Yes, yeah.
Well, we got history repeating itself. Good news is that the EU have told all those countries, mostly East European countries like Poland, Hungary, that they must recognise same-sex marriage.
Okay.
So that's a plus.
Yeah. Okay. That is.
Is that as a condition of entry?
They're already in the EU, so I think they're just getting a smacked botty at the moment.
That's a very polite way of putting it. But no, I think it's important that there is a balance. You know, there's so much going on in the news all the time that it is a sort of a huge sense of overwhelm for people within, you know, lots of different communities from lots of different backgrounds. Anybody who isn't or, you know, doesn't conform to what a certain president, for example, wants everybody to be are suffering. But there are some really amazing things going on in the world as well.
Yeah. Celebrating
that, definitely. Absolutely.
What did you say then, Terry? You were very distant.
Was I? I'm sorry.
You are very distant.
Am I? I'm speaking.
There we go.
Let's turn my volume
in unison.
Up.
Yeah, well.
Actually, she turned you off.
Yeah.
And now she's turned you on.
Well, people want to switch me off all the time. I wish they could.
Andy told me to keep your mic off.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Look, he said don't say that live on air.
Who's Mike?
He's not here.
We left him outside.
He doesn't know the door code.
No, he was trouble.
No, you did say something there, Terry, but we didn't hear you.
I can't remember what I said.
That's okay.
My mind is like Swiss cheese.
I think it was about there always being some positive news.
I think it was something on the lines of it's good to have that balance and
absolutely
to relate that positive news, which is what community radio is about, because ultimately community radio is about not having people living in individual boxes and recognising common humanity. That's what the licence for this station stipulates.
And I think radio has always been about about bringing people together. Makes you think of pirate radio, which I've heard you know a little bit about, Terry.
And me and Steph.
Steph doesn't know anything. She knows loads about buses. You know loads about pirate radio.
Would that be your mastermind topic, would it?
Yeah.
Wow.
If you went on.
I suppose it must be.
What
would
your specialist topic be?
Yeah.
I didn't even know when I first became friends with Terry that pirate radio was a thing. Which, so, and now I do, obviously, and know the history of it. And the boat that rocked actually happened.
Yeah.
So that's pretty incredible.
When was the first pirate station, Terry? Wasn't it back in the 20s?
I think about 1929, 1930, they've traced it back to, just from newspaper reports. We don't have any recordings of these stations, but the Daily Express reported on an illegal station operating in the London area in about 1929, 1930. So there has a long heritage.
Yeah, but the 60s were it, weren't they?
Well, the 60s with a bit, lots of stations on boats and abandoned gunning towers around the coast.
And the Gayer Than Springtime Kenny Everett was launched on
he was
on Caroline.
He was he's Radio London, actually.
Oh, was he?
Which was anchored a few miles away. Okay. Yeah, he was.
Must have been an amazing life, pirate radio.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can go and visit.
I'd have been seasick.
I think some people were and actually had to overcome seasickness to broadcast. But Kenny Everett, for one, good gay hero.
Yeah.
Sadly, no longer with us. He'd be 80 now.
Wow.
And now all we had to do was brave Bristol traffic to get here.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's not the same.
A brilliant, what do you call that?
Segue,
yes. Yeah, sorry, I've got a Steffi tapping my leg.
We gyratoried, didn't we?
Gyratoried?
Yeah.
Well, live on air?
For you
we thought there was about half my queue of double-deck buses stopping us
Steph was
down.
In heaven.
Gyrating, you're turning each
not
other
with
on.
The modern ones.
It's all happening now.
But it's all happening.
All of it. Everything. I don't know what. I don't know what day it is, but I'm here.
Yeah, everything everywhere. Right, we're going to move on because we have got a few things to do.
Yes.
Now, we did lose Jimmy Cliff the other day. That gay anthem, you can get it if you really want, was one of his. And I'm sure you can if you try hard enough.
Shout-out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout-Out Podcast.
Possum Trot. I'm going to say nothing more. I'm just going to leave that right there, Possum Trot. I'm going to let Niamh describe what that is. Welcome to Shout-Out, Niamh.
Hello, it's lovely to be here.
Lovely to have you. Now, people are going to be intrigued. Now, Possum Trot actually exists, doesn't it?
So it's based off a couple of different small little rural towns in Nebraska and kind of in the US in general, where it's kind of a very rural community. You know, in our play, Maxine is the she's the tax collector and the librarian, and you know, it's there's all these tasks that she carries out because it's such a small contained rural community, and communities like that exist in the US. And that's what Possum Trot is based off of. That's the kind of the concept.
Okay. Right. How did you get into acting?
Oh, gosh. So in some ways, I've started very young, and in other ways, I started very late. So I did a lot of theatre and things like that growing up as a child and things, a lot of like Shakespeare randomly. And some actor muso stuff. But I actually trained originally as a linguist in Spanish and linguistics. And for me, it was always like that kind of constant wrestle between languages and acting. And by the time I started my undergrad degree in languages, by the second year, I was like, okay, I'm really enjoying this, but I know that I wanna do a master's in acting and kind of do a 180 on what the original plan was. So I did that. I graduated my undergrad and then I did a master's in acting at ArtEd 2 years ago. And yeah, so I'm like a newbie in some ways. And then in other ways, I'm like, it feels like I've always been doing this, or it feels like I should have always been doing this.
I guess you could use both branches, can't you? I'm sure somebody somewhere needs somebody talking a different language for them to so they can converse.
Yeah, I like to say that I've got 2 degrees in yapping. Like, I've got one yapping in Spanish and I've got one yapping in whatever way you want. So, yeah, I think at the bottom of everything, I've always been a yapper. So I've figured out ways to channel that.
Absolutely love it. Love it. Right. Can you tell us a little bit more about the play? Obviously, don't give too much away, but if you could just tell us the highlights.
Yeah, absolutely. So Possum Trot is a piece of new writing written by the amazing American playwright Kathy Rucker. We are doing the world premiere currently at the Tabard Theatre. We're playing through till the 29th of November. And yeah, it's inspired by the kind of ongoing battles by family farms and farming community across America's kind of rural heartland. And yeah, it's just a really touching and heartfelt family play about the issues affecting small town communities that I think, like, as much as it in some ways feels very specific to like rural America and rural Nebraska, I think in other ways the story itself feels so universal because it's about family dynamics. It's about how we navigate through the world in a constantly changing world, and whether we choose to hold back or whether we choose to embrace things. And a lot of it as well is about how much people choose to tell each other and how much they hide, and what happens when those things spill out in unexpected ways. It feels like a play about choices in a lot of ways.
How's your Nebraskan accent?
I hope it's good. I've been told it's good, so I'll take that. It's an interesting one. It's pretty, again, like, as from someone who studied linguistics, I love accents so much. I was that kid walking around the house doing different accents, and I just find them fascinating, and studying them from like a technical perspective as well, really interesting. And a Nebraska accent, it's pretty, I don't like using the word neutral towards accents because what is neutral, but it's pretty like general American with a couple of little bits and bobs there, because it's literally slap right bang in the middle of the US. It's the big square one in the middle as a state. So yeah, Kathy said it's good, so okay, I'll take that.
Right, okay, I'm going to give you a test right here, right now, on Shout Out. Give us a couple of lines in a Nebraskan accent from the play.
What do I say? My first line is, you're wrong, the thunder was a good sign. And then I have, how could you say that, Graham?
Okay, sounds good to me. Right, because what is your accent where you were born?
I'm from Liverpool. Born and bred. So
okay, it's very mild, actually, your puddling accent. It's not very strong.
It kind of comes and goes. If I'm around my family or back in Liverpool, then it goes a lot stronger than when I'm in London and stuff.
So we can get bums on seats. How do people get tickets, and what are the timings and dates?
Stunning. Yes. You can get tickets on the Tabard website. It's at the Tabard Theatre, which is the theatre up above the Tabard pub in Chiswick, in London. And you can get tickets there. We opened on the 12th for previews. We are now running through to the 29th of November, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, which is a double. You've got a Saturday matinee and a Saturday evening. So if you fancy a little trip out to the theatre to see something that feels really heartwarming, something that feels really truthful and honest, get your tickets.
Yeah, and people aren't going to forget that title anytime soon, are they? Possum Trot, love it. Niamh, thank you for joining us on Shout Out, and break a leg.
Thank you so much.
That was Niamh Francis. Now, Terry, what should we not be doing on this station or our partner stations until the 1st of December?
We shouldn't be talking about... We shouldn't be playing any Christmas records, I think.
Okay.
That's what you have in.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Andy Williams. Now, I probably won't be broadcasting next week because I will have the sack, but it's going to take a while for him to catch up with me.
That was awful.
You're on the run now.
Yeah. I cried all the way through that.
You did cry. Yeah. Terry was singing. Yeah. And he's volunteered, actually, to sing the news in the style of a Christmas choir in a cathedral.
No.
Okay. I tried. Sorry, listeners. He's just not playing ball. Are you ready to read the news?
We are.
Normal style.
The This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
The top US blog, Erin in the Morning, is worth visiting this week as it pulls together new scientific reports that show up the lies of anti-transgender campaigners. The website says, in the last year, many pseudoscientific activists have worked to prop up misleading claims to imply that gender-affirming care is ineffective or dangerous. These claims fly in the face of the dozens of important studies released over the last decade showing the powerful, measurable impact that gender-affirming care has on transgender youth who need it. Now, a recent study published in the Journal of Pediatrics adds yet another data point to the overwhelming body of evidence supporting this care, finding that suicidality scores dropped significantly an average of 2 years and up to 5 years after patients received gender-affirming treatment. The study was conducted at an unnamed Midwestern America clinic, though the authors note it was likely located in a state that banned gender-affirming care, as those bans prevented researchers from gathering additional data on the trans youth in the study.
Activists, campaigners and members of the Durham LGBTQIA plus community gathered on a street in the town on November the 17th to honour Sam Green, who passed on in 1999 and who had been the first elected openly gay man in the UK. Mr Green was a member of both the Gay Liberation Front, the Campaign for Homosexual Equality and the Liberal Party, and served as a councillor on the now-abolished Durham City Council between 1972 and 1999. Ed Davey, leader of the Liberal Democrats, unveiled the plaque. Parish Councillor Susan Walker said she hoped the plaque would inspire Mr Green's story to be told more widely, saying, "His story is such an important part of Durham's history, but it isn't that well known. By commissioning the plaque and having it out here helps us tell the story. It's so important for diversity. He was such a brave man."
Now, the lesbian magazine Diva reports that polls show that a majority of women who were assigned as women at birth support trans women and do not want to see them scapegoated for the problems of society. The magazine reports on a new initiative reflective of just this. They say the Not In Our Name, NION campaign is an open letter which challenges the anti-trans rhetoric we have seen in the UK since the Supreme Court ruling in April. Launched in May 2025, the campaign rejects the exclusion of trans people from society. And signatories include Kate Nash, Beverly Knight and Carla Denyer, MP. A spokesperson for NION, NION, said certain media outlets, as well as politicians, have taken the position of a minority who do not support the inclusion of trans people and pitched it as the position of all women. This is something we absolutely reject. We believe that the voice of everyday women who fundamentally believe all humans should have access to certain spaces and be treated with dignity and respect is missing from the conversation. Our letter is a simple tool through which we can demonstrate that the majority of women do not want to see the trans community scapegoated.
Greenpeace UK has announced that it is once again making available a T-shirt designed by comic genius and all-round queer hero Joe Lycett. It will be on sale again from the Greenpeace shop later this week and is aimed at the Christmas gift market. Greenpeace offers a supply of campaigning and ethically sourced and printed shirts, and Joe's will be no exception, all proceeds going towards Greenpeace's fearless environmentalist campaigning work.
It's World AIDS Week, with World AIDS Day falling on Monday, the 1st of December, a time to take a moment to remember those who we have lost through HIV and AIDS during the early years of the pandemic in particular, and to celebrate the long and happy lives now enjoyed by people who are on anti-HIV therapies. Soon, we hope we'll be able to report on a cure for HIV, and then we can consign this accursed illness to the history books forever. But until that time comes, give generously to HIV charities and show solidarity to those of our communities who are living with HIV.
And finally, queer hero Will Young comes to Bristol in December and January playing The Spirit of the Beans in the 2025 adaptation of Jack and the Beanstalk, which plays at the Bristol Hippodrome. The show opens on the 6th of December. Will says, "I'm so excited to announce that I will be starring in my first ever panto this Christmas. Someone said to me that pantomime is often the first experience we have of live performance and the arts, and they are so right. I'm thrilled to be joining the production this year. Christmas is the most magical time, and I'm proud to be part of that wonderful tradition of pantomime, especially in Bristol, which puts on the best show. See you in December with leggings, sparkles aplenty, Christmas cheer and laughs. We will make the whole thing evergreen."
That's the news for this week, but join us again in the next programme for more, and be sure to keep tuned to community media and newspapers for the further LGBTQIA plus news from around the globe and around the corner.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
You clapping? No. You're not allowed to clap, Terry.
Sorry.
Your tinsel's dropped off. Get it back on your head. Now, World AIDS Day 25 is almost upon us, and I think this is the first time in many a year that we haven't had Alad with us, and we used to have the WAD takeover. But we have got Brigstow with us. In fact, we've got them in numbers. They equal our numbers of presenters, actually. So we've got three. So we go round the table, starting left to right. Tell us your name and what your role is in Brigstow.
Hello, I'm Emily. I volunteer with Brigstow. I have done so for nearly 10 years now. And I do all sorts. I do peer mentoring, I do clinic mentoring, I'm a facilitator, I'm a trainer, I'm a campaigner, you name it, I'll do it for Brigstow.
I'm moving to your left.
Cool, and so I'm Josh, so I'm also a volunteer, but not for as long as Emily. I've been with Brigstow for coming up to 2 years, again as a peer mentor, campaigner, public speaker, going into universities, and also as a trustee for Brigstow.
And last but not least,
I'm Sun, and I also do the peer mentoring and activism, and I also work with Chiva. But I've been involved with HIV since birth.
Okay. Now, you say activism. What does that actually mean? What does that entail?
A lot of education, a lot of talking to people, and putting my face out there, like being known. And doing workshops and education, working with kids, all sorts.
Okay.
And it's a special anniversary, isn't it, that we're celebrating this World AIDS Day?
It is. It is. 30 years.
30 years of Brigstow.
Wow. Are you having a party?
We're not having a party. Well, no? We're having a party on Saturday. But apart from that, yeah. So
you're having a party Saturday.
Brigstow's been going for 30 years now.
So am I invited? That's all that matters.
And yes. No, Steph, you're not.
Absolutely. Everyone's welcome. Yes.
Were you going to? Sorry. Oh, I've got two mics in my face now, and I'm very short, so I'm gonna lean up a bit. So, thank you, Stephanie. So, Brigstow's been going for 30 years, and it sounds like you three have been quite a big part of it for some time. And with World AIDS Day coming up, what's happening over the next few days in regards to that?
Well, we've got the World AIDS Day celebration event coming up on Saturday. It's a free event to attend. I usually go for the free wine. And if you go on to Eventbrite and type in HIV, then it comes up all the free events that you can book. So World AIDS Day celebration and the vigil that we hold every year is going on this Saturday. And then we've got on Tuesday, the 2nd, the day after World AIDS Day itself, we've got some free training at the Brigstow office.
Brigstow office. Yeah.
Is that something that happens every year?
Which bit, the training or the
celebration? Yeah, the celebration and the training. Is this something that
the celebration happens every year, so it's happening at the watershed. And yeah, it's always, you know, like a celebration of life, really, of how far we've come for HIV, what we've achieved at Brigstow in the last year, and all the amazing people that we get to work with, and all the amazing progress that all of the clients make as well on a personal level.
It's been 30 years, hasn't it, since antiretroviral treatments came on the market in a big way, wasn't it, about 1995. How has stigma changed in the last 30 years, do you think?
I mean, we went from people dying quite regularly to people being able to have a new lease on life. But then with that new lease on life, people, their attitudes didn't keep up. I believe that it's about half of people in the UK say that they wouldn't kiss someone with HIV.
Wow.
Even and today.
Even today. Mm. Yes, that was stats put out by Terence Higgins Trust in the last year.
Do you think that moment with Diana, where she hugged that guy, was a turning point for the people, the rest of the population who didn't really understand what HIV and AIDS was at that time? Do you think that was a real big step forward when she did that momentous thing?
Yeah, I think that there have been some critical points where public, celebrities have done something to make progress, and even her son had a test live on Facebook at some point. Yeah. Keir Starmer's done the same, and that just helps to normalise testing, which is what we want. It needs to be as normal as having a COVID test or a flu test, that you need to know your status, because you'll protect yourself and you'll protect others. You'll live healthy and so will other people.
Mm. Now, there's a lot of people out there who think that it only affects gay men, but that's absolutely not the truth, is it?
I mean, in the studio today, we've got a diverse group of people that are all living with HIV. I am a gay man, and I do live with HIV, but these days, it's actually the underrepresented group in terms of new diagnoses. There's a lot of new diagnoses in the black community, and normally late-stage diagnoses as well. So half of those diagnoses are late, which is really, really bad, because that means that you will have worse health outcomes. But if you get to know your status early, then you will be able to be put on treatment, you'll become undetectable, you won't pass it on, you'll have normal life expectancy with fewer issues than if you don't get diagnosed until very late.
Mm. Are people of colour now getting the help that they need? Because I think there's a stigma attached to that, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And Brigstow do actually do a lot of good work in Bristol for the Black African and Caribbean heritage communities through the Common Ambition Bristol, which is a lot of outreach work. Matt at Brigstow is doing these amazing things, going into barbershops and, you know, talking about sexual health, not HIV, just sexual health, because that's where people are at, and that's the conversations we need to start having, is about good sexual health.
I was just reflecting what you were saying there. I think that absolutely it's about knowing how to open up that conversation, being able to bring something in that people can maybe instantly relate to or just feel slightly more comfortable within going into a conversation, maybe with a stranger, that can then help them understand maybe themselves and others more, and then start talking to other people if they do have those worries as well, knowing where they can access that help, and having just that first conversation, I think, can be a really momentous and sometimes life-saving conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I often hear people say is it's not that people are hard to reach, it's that we haven't figured out how to reach them.
Yeah.
You know, these people just need different ways of connecting. Like, everyone will find the education that they need if we, like, are creative about the ways that we disperse it and the way we connect with people and, you know, educate. Yeah,
absolutely. And with having, I suppose, as you said, you all three of you diverse and all doing this most incredible and a really incredible thing. And I was just thinking about all the different people that will be out there not knowing how to have these conversations, and maybe seeing themselves in somebody else as well can be such a big step. So I'm thinking, okay, there is actually somebody I can talk to about what I'm worried about, or I know what's going on for me, but how do I move forward from this? Or how do I talk to my family? Is that the sort of thing sometimes you see within your one-to-one support sessions, that people don't know how to have certain conversations?
Yes, we see that very regularly. In fact, that's one of the reasons we do what we do, is to allow people to just get rid of that shame that they hold in themselves and allow them to just talk normally to people.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, it should be normalised. I mean, going for an HIV test for me is the same as going for a cervical screening test, you know. It should just be a normal test.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone is interested in getting tested for HIV, what would their first route be? You know, because if you go to your GP, I believe it's still the case that it would go onto your medical records, whereas through the sexual health clinic, it doesn't. Is that still the case?
I think there's an option, isn't there, whether it goes onto your GP records.
Right.
So, yeah, the main point would be to go to the central sexual health clinic.
Yeah.
But then we've also got some vending machines now in Bristol, don't we? We've had them for a few years. We've got one at the Watershed and one at Hamilton House,
okay.
Which is just a, yeah, it's like a normal vending machine. You go in, you
just
plug
for
in
an
your
STI
details.
Test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and you get your HIV test equipment.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
Just a little postal kit.
That's a really good development.
Is that available across the country? Is that widely available?
No, that's just local. We made that happen.
Yeah. Really?
Good for Bristol. Good for Brickstone. That's brilliant.
Well done, you. That's incredible. Yeah. So we need to spread that across the country, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Do you work with other organisations around the country to, like, do you feed off each other for advice and help? And
I'd say there's definitely a lot of collaboration. So I also work with Fast Track Cities Bristol, which is, we aim to improve, like, stigma and basically help educate people, and we get the statistics of, like, what sort of discrimination people have faced when someone's reported it, so that we can do something about it. And Fast Track Cities exists all over, like, different countries as well, and they all collaborate together. And then I also work with CHIVA, the children and young adults, because all the young people are growing up, which is great because there's a lot less children being born with it. And yeah, that's like all over the UK. Really great charity, yeah.
Now, recently in the news was a new medicine, wasn't there, for HIV?
Injections.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that another leap forward?
Absolutely, yeah. So it might be difficult for some people to take medication every day, or it might remind them of something they don't want to be thinking about ever all the time, or they might just get some negative side effects, which does happen depending on your body. So you can do the injections every 2 months, and yeah, if that works better for you, that works better for you.
And they've also got new prevention strategies with 6 monthly injections. And that's just been approved by NICE, the commission group that approve new medications. But it, not just for the UK, but for the world, that is an amazing step forward, because in South Africa, for example, people are then able to get twice a year PrEP injections, and then it's like a vaccine, isn't it? It's like they're not going to be infected with HIV in that year, where, you know, there's threat of violence within relationships and things like that. Their partners don't want them taking PrEP, these sorts of things. So it's like, it's a massive step forward. Unfortunately, it's quite expensive as well. So
yeah, going on to that, the cost and that, does it worry you, and is it having an impact that Trump's removed all funding for aid across the planet for that type of thing, for not just HIV AIDS, but other things as well? Is that a big issue now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we are very privileged in this country. You know, as soon as you get diagnosed with HIV, you get your care sorted for life. Whereas, like, there are countries in Africa and the people are already dying, you know, that they're going to die far more frequently because of cuts to aid, and even the UK government has a part in that as well, as they are cutting aid too. And it's a really sad development in the last year.
How
close do you think we are to actually a cure for HIV? We're close, aren't we now?
Yeah, so there has been functional cures, usually for people that also have cancer of the bone marrow.
Right.
And then they've functionally been cured of HIV, because reservoirs of HIV exist in bone marrow.
Yeah.
However, I mean, for me, it's always like, we can't always be thinking about a cure, because the reality is, even if a cure was developed, I mean, we develop amazing medication today where people won't get infected with HIV, which should be freely available to everyone, but it's not, because of pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
So even if we got to the cure, I think that we would still be many years away from it being available. You know, so we don't really attach ourselves to that idea. But there are developments all the time. There's something called broadly neutralizing antibodies, which HIV positive people can take, which again is like almost like a 6 monthly injection, where you would then not have to take your medication for that 6 months. And it's like an alternative approach to the antiretroviral therapy that we see today.
That hasn't been approved yet, though.
Hasn't been approved, no, but they've done some clinical trials with it.
Yeah.
Promising stuff.
Absolutely. We are slowly but fastly running out of time, and I wanted to ask a question. What do you think is some of the, and it is a big question actually, but some of the biggest stigma that's unfounded that is still, sorry, not the biggest stigma, the biggest misunderstandings that people have still around HIV and AIDS?
You can't share water with someone.
Yeah.
Obviously you can, you can't pass it on through saliva. That you might die. Yeah. And actually, like most people, if you know that you're HIV positive, then you're like, then you are able to do something about it, and you're able to get support and medication.
Yeah.
Other myths.
The list is pretty so much many. Endless, isn't it? For stigma in particular. I mean, you know, when I very first came out publicly about my HIV status, you know, I get comments like, you know, you should have used a condom. You bought this on yourself. And I just think, wow, yeah. And you wouldn't run after a lady with a pushchair and say, you should have used a condom.
No. I would really hope not. I suppose that kind of, all of those things that just reiterate how important it is that people have conversations and also take responsibility to educate themselves as well for those people that aren't living with HIV, that they recognise that actually there is a lot here that I need to learn, to also be there as a support to other people that may be experiencing those sorts of comments as well as everything else that people might be living with because of it.
Yeah. I think it's really important to remember, I always say this, that like people can be HIV positive from any walk of life and at any age, you know, because I was a baby living with HIV and I've always had it. So it's just like a reminder that like this isn't an adult subject. Yeah. Just because we talk about it like it's an STI, that doesn't mean that's what it is. Like it is something else. It's just a bloodborne virus, you know. So yeah, it's normal. It's just a part of our lives. It's just a part of health. And we need to get rid of the stigma for it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Now, we're running out of time because time for us is finite on this station. So how can people get in touch if they want advice? Obviously, you have a website that people can get onto, phone lines. How can people get in touch?
Yeah, so I mean, Brigstow's services are for HIV positive people. So for migration and asylum services, they've got the peer support, the advice and support, you know, contact Brigstow by phone, by email, through the website. I mean, you can probably add them on Twitter and Instagram and people will get in touch with you. But yeah, and then there's always the outreach work as well. People are dotted around the different clinics and, you know, very friendly bunch of staff that work at Brigstow. Everyone's absolutely lovely. Shout out to Tash as well, because we love Tash.
Yeah. We love you, Tash.
And come to our AIDS Day.
Yeah.
Okay, she'll probably appreciate that. You're probably going to find us a cake waiting for you and a cup of tea when you go into work tomorrow. Thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate your time. And World AIDS Day is actually on the 1st, but we got to think about everything all the time. And like we've spoke about, that stigma. The stigma on, there's such a lot of stigma on loads of things, but it's really bad on HIV and AIDS. And it's amazing to me that it's lasted so long, those stigmas. It just goes on and on. You think, haven't people got it yet?
It's stubborn.
Yeah, it is crazy. Thank you so much, anyway.
Thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Darlene Love from the Phil Spector Christmas album. I think that's one of the most popular Christmas albums ever from the 60s. I think, wasn't Darlene Love married to Phil Spector?
I don't know, but I know it was Phil Spector.
I don't think anybody at this table will know the answer to that, Steph. That might be some quite niche knowledge there.
He hated stereo. He loved mono. So this wall of sound was what he thought would be it. You know, everyone would just...
And it has a distinctive... noise to it, doesn't it? It has a distinctive timbre, and you can tell.
He did stuff for like Tina Turner, with River Deep Mountain High.
And the Merry Christmas album is still available. You can still buy it on CD.
Crystals, Ronettes, Bobby Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah. All on it. None of them are gay.
No, so why are we talking about them?
So not even a tenuous link. But gay people listen to that album, what? Terry.
I think we've had Christmas, we've had World AIDS Day, we've had gay people, and we've also now got 60s music recording techniques, courtesy of Steffi and Terry. It's been really, really good.
Yes, thank you. Right, everyone's moving around. This is musical chairs now. I'm going to say la, 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 and the music stopped. If you haven't got a chair, you're out.
That's right.
There we go.
Hello. Did you miss me?
Where did you go?
Narnia. Back in the closet. Just briefly. Always winter, never spring.
Oh.
Never Christmas. Winter, never always Christmas. Winter and never Christmas. I don't think that's worked on this show, really, has it? With all of Steffi's music choice.
No, there was a lot of mics moving around, and Steph's now turned me down, so I can only just hear myself. Much appreciated.
At least she didn't turn you off.
No. Or on.
Well, what you do in your own time, you know, that's totally your business.
Keep up.
Yeah.
There are some amazing... I think I'm a little bit of a Scrooge, I think, until maybe like a few days before Christmas, but there are some that I really love. I can't say Mariah Carey makes the cut there for me, but there are some really lovely Christmas tunes that we enjoy, aren't there? And that you play on the show quite a lot every year. Do any of you, because I've started talking about it now, have a song that doesn't get on your nerves over Christmas?
I don't think Lucy has a Christmas song, do you?
Oh, no. Okay.
It's rather Bar Humbug from the other side of the desk.
Terry?
I rather like Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses.
Okay.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Covered several times by other bands. I think the Spice Girls did a version.
Oh.
But so that doesn't get on my nerves, but some of them do. Stop the Cavalry by Jonah Louie does wind me up, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm not keen on that one. Greg Lake, I like
that's
the
a
Greg
nice
Lake
one, isn't it?
That's got a bit of a Phil Spector wall of sound to it.
It has. Lovely video as well.
Yeah.
Very moving video. Yeah. But, you know, peace.
Johnny
and
Mathis,
war.
Oh Holy Night. That is special. Okay. That makes the hairs on the back of my neck tingle. Yeah.
I like the really old classic by Kelly Clarkson, Underneath the Tree. Did that come out in about 1972?
Is that a fantasy thing?
Maybe add about 25 years to that, but yeah.
I actually really love that song. I like some of the modern Christmas songs. I also really like Justin Bieber's Christmas album, and I'm not taking it back. I've said it now, live on air. Under the Mistletoe.
Yeah, yes, we like that one.
We do.
We
do. Yes, and we do make Steph play it every year. Generally of a week when Andy's not here.
Yeah.
Because it's not to his taste at all.
Do you know that there are several pop-up radio stations on the digital band which play non-stop Christmas music? One last year opened on the 21st of June.
See, no.
Which is slightly excessive even for Christmas lovers, I think.
Barbados, 24/7, all year round.
Christmas music.
Station.
Really?
There we go. Yeah. That's the way to get your advertising revenue in if you're running a commercial radio station.
So you can sit on the beach in the middle of July in Barbados and listen to Christmas music.
Okay. But we are still in November.
Joyous.
And you've already had your Christmas present.
Well, I hope I haven't. I hope there's more to come.
Really? Another bus?
I was a good girl this year, and I don't deserve coal.
I don't know. Well, I don't know what you would do with it, because we don't have a fire. What about those oranges with, like, stabby bits in it? What are they called? I never liked them.
What?
That was a Christmas thing, wasn't it? Those oranges with, like, cloves.
Oh, yes.
I knew what I meant.
Yeah. Stabby bits.
That was a Christmas thing, right?
I think it was.
It's not a fever dream.
No.
Okay.
No, people used to give oranges, especially after the Second World War, because it was so difficult to come by oranges. So they were a treat.
All right, well, that makes sense.
A real treat. I mean, my parents can still remember the first time they saw a banana.
Wow.
Because
wow.
It was, you know, it was a special, special thing.
Oh.
Special thing.
You doing an antler deer impression there?
Yeah.
What was that 10 seconds
I was just
to go?
Pretending. Well, it was either 10 seconds to go or I was an elk.
A Christmas elk.
You choose.
By the way, very quickly, an orange with cloves is called a commando, a traditional Christmas decoration, air freshener made by studding an orange with cloves. You're welcome.
And you make an old wine with it as well.
Right, there we go.
That's yes. The reason. I can't believe it took you guys that long to get to that.
Sorry.
And so we've broken the December the 1st rule on Christmas music for our partner stations.
But we need to be the first because we love winning.
Is it a competition?
Oh, yeah.
Next week?
The Running Man.
And if you missed or want to catch up?
Well, go to shoutoutradio.lgbt. Until then, say goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.